The first reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 25. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbours, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labour and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you are marked, with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God, as beloved children, and live in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Hear the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading is from John chapter 6, starting at verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him, saying, "He said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.'" They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose mother and father we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me. And I'll raise that person up on that last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh." For the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you.
I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, some of you know all about the fact that I have food allergies, and therefore there are times when food is not good for me. Spend a lot of time reading labels. Who spends a lot of time reading labels when they go to the supermarket? Yeah, a few of us do, don't we? Got to read the label, because you got to check, because it has the garlic down there about five lines down over in that corner, you know? And being allergic to garlic, I've got to tell you, it's in everything. There are so many things they just put it into. I don't know why. Just because they think they need it. And I have chefs who look at me and say, "How can anything have any flavor if you don't put garlic in?" And I say, "Try some ginger, try some, you know," there's a lot of spices. But anyway, that I could go on like that forever. But the thing is that the right food is so important, isn't it? We can't be nourished by food that's going to make us sick. It doesn't work. You can't be nourished by the food that has something in it that's going to poison you. And you need good food. Now, bread is good food. And I do believe our young people are making bread this morning, which is what's going on up there. We're making some bread, yes. So we're going to have some good food. I don't know how much bread they're going to make. We might get a little piece of it. I don't know. But they're making bread this morning. So if you saw the air fryer set up out there, that's why. Because they're making good food. Good gluten-free food. And which is good for the body. Now, who are we? We are the body of Christ. And we need the right food for our body in Christ. When Jesus is talking to these people, chapter 6 follows chapter 5, as things normally do. Chapter 5 finishes with the feeding of the 5,000, as I said last week. 5 loaves, 2 fish. 5,000 men fed. They didn't count the women and children, so we're talking at least 7,000 people, maybe more. So they always, it was just the way the society worked in those days. 5,000, maybe 7,000, maybe 10,000, I don't know. Did all the blokes bring their wives and kids? Could have been more than that, couldn't it? Who knows? But it's a lot of people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And it's sensational. And it was good, obviously, because they all ate it. Must have tasted good. I think if God multiplies food, it's going to taste good, don't you? I can't vouch for the idea that the bread would have been gluten-free, but that's okay. The people are coming looking for more food. The people are coming looking for more good food. They're coming looking for more fish and bread. Now, we said this last week, but as we go through this chapter, it's important for us to remember that their minds are on the bread that they ate beforehand. They are not thinking the way that Jesus is trying to help them to think. They're thinking about the stuff we eat. And because of that, they're just not getting what he's trying to say. And Jesus, as he is trying to teach them, is getting more and more pointed in how he teaches them. And so he is trying to do this not because he wants somehow to go for the shock value. He's actually trying to help them to understand that God has something better, even better than watching 5,000 people fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That God can do something which is an eternal food for our body, our soul, our mind, our strength, our whole life. Now, the Christian life is not a life which is just about what we do in the everyday to feed ourselves, to clothe ourselves, to work, is it? Christian life is a whole of life thing. It's actually one of the great criticisms of Christianity, especially from the Islamic world. If you talk to Muslims about Christianity, they will often say, you only do yours on Sunday. We do it as a way of life. Isn't that interesting? But in fact, that's not true, is it? But because they have rules, you see, you have to pray 5 times a day facing towards Mecca. You should do the Hajj at least once in your life. You have to keep the 5 pillars, the pillars, not pillows, pillars of the religion, because the word Islam means to obey. And the idea is that you live your life in obedience and doing all the things. The difference between our obedience and their obedience is marked when you come to the end of life. When you come to the end of life in the Islamic religion, and you die having done all your best to obey, there is no sense that there is anything you could have done to wipe anything away that you did not do right. And indeed, Allah, even if you did it perfectly, is completely allowed to say, no, don't like you. Can't come in. Sorry. God, our God who is not the God of Islam, our God who is this God, Jesus Christ, is trying to help us to understand he came down from heaven to give his life so that we do not have to spend our lives begging for bread, begging to be good enough, begging to have done all the right things. Will you accept me, please, God? I've done all the right things today. We live in obedience to him because he first lived for us and died for us. He takes away the burden of it. what Paul is trying to do when he's talking to the Ephesians is help them to learn to live this life. He is trying to help them to learn how to live a life, to follow Jesus because he went there first. The thing is, I am not going to keep everything, and I don't think that anybody does. We all have our moments, don't we? You're perfect? Put your hand up. No? No, 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 perfect. I can't do it. And if I live my life worrying about that, I'm never going to get there. I'm going to be, as our beautiful Islamic brothers and sisters are, hoping that God will take me. Because I've tried to do everything right. It's not how it works. Oh my goodness, Christianity's been taught this way sometimes. It's not how it works. Absolutely not how it works. No, 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 no. Paul begins Ephesians first. When he's talking to the Ephesians, he begins it with grace. He says, we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And that means that we are already seated in the heavenly places. We already have our place there. We have eternal life through faith in Jesus. What he then calls us to is a life that lives to give back to him in obedience and faith, so that others will see and get the same freedom. I don't have to do it all because Jesus did it for me. That's what Jesus is trying to help the people in John's gospel to see. And this is what Paul is building on as he then writes to the Ephesians, who are people of faith, to help them to know how to live that out. Jesus has done it all for me. I do not need to follow five pillars, do this, do that, do the other thing, and then hope at the end of my life that I will have a place with God. My place is already there. Your place is already there. It's already there, seated in the heavenlies with Jesus. This is Christian faith. We have eternal life through the one who is the bread of life. The food that feeds us, body, soul, and spirit every day. See, John 6 is not about communion. People make this all the time. Jesus is not talking about communion. Communion is something that Jesus instituted later to help us to come to a place where we understood how he had given his body and his blood for us. And he used the Passover bread and wine for that. This is different. This is Jesus talking to us about life and the very things that give us life. I don't live if I don't eat. Can do it for a little while, but you starve to death if you don't eat, don't you? Bread of life is saying this is what we live on day out, day in, day out. He is the center of everything, and he is the true bread that will give us life forever. He's good bread. He's good food. And being good food, he wants them to eat him. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And it's about then that people start going, we're not cannibals. Not what he's saying really, is it? What he's saying is, I'm actually going to give my whole life to you by dying for you on the cross. I'm actually going to become the one who pays the penalty for everything that you have done wrong, intentionally or unintentionally. I'm going to do that so that you can have the life that you want. I'm going to become your true bread, and through me you'll be able to be fed body, soul, and spirit for the rest of your days, and through me you will have eternal life in the Father. But to do that, you actually need to follow me and take this in and make it the center of your being. They didn't quite get it. And indeed, we'll read on in the next weeks with Jill about what they did about that. Paul, however, gets it beautifully, and he's teaching the Ephesians how to live as people who live on the bread of life. As God's people, how do we feed ourselves as the body of Christ? We live according to the things we know are good. Not so that God will accept us, but so that we can give back to God a life which is a life which follows him, that loves him, and gives a witness to the world, day in, day out. So then, put away falsehood. Speak the truth to your neighbor. We're members of one another. We're part of this body now. Favorite words in the Bible for a lot of people: be angry but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now, a lot of people have trouble with that one because they say, what happens if it gets to the end of the day and I'm still seething? Because sometimes people can get up your nasal passage so far you need some surgery to get them out, can't they? Right? When they're so far up my nose and I'm still seething, and the sun's going down, what do I do about that? Because I am still angry, and what am I going to do with this? I'm still frustrated. I'm still rehearsing it in my head. I'm still, what am I going to do with it? I'm going to give it to Jesus, is what I'm going to do with it. Be angry. It's not the anger that's the issue, okay? The issue is the sin that goes with the anger. The issue is what we do because we're angry. There are two choices when you're angry. You can hit back, or you can be angry, step back and say, I'm angry. I need to kick in my rational mind and make sure I respond rather than react. This can be very difficult to do on the spot. None of us does it perfectly. I don't do it perfectly. Nobody else does. It's okay. But what he's saying is, by all means, you're going to get angry. Don't let that become something which you internalize, which you allow to become bitterness, which you allow to come in and poison you. You can be as angry as you like at somebody else. They may not even know you're angry at them. And guess who's getting poisoned? You. Because you're eating bad food. You're eating bitterness, and you're eating resentment, and you're eating unforgiveness, and you're eating those things, and you're letting it sit in here and fester. The old adage. If you're angry at someone and you carry that anger, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Don't eat bad food. The good food is in laying that down with the Lord and saying, okay, I'm really angry right now, Lord, but I want to do it your way. Help me to work out how to work with you. This person's really hurt me. Help me to forgive them. This person is going on, and I don't know that I can be in their presence. Help me to work out how to do this in the right way so that I'm not unsafe. Help me to lay this down, Lord. Cover it with your blood and lead me through. I'm going to give it to you tonight. And yes, you may wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go round it again. Give it back to him after you've picked it up again, all right? Just keep going. Because you don't want to ruminate on that. It's not good food. The good food is what's sitting here in the Bible, which tells us that you are a child of the living God, that you are a person who is free. And God wants you to stay free. Eat good food, read scripture, pray, go to the one who is the bread of life, and he will help you to let it go. And then do what you need to do once you've calmed down. Maybe you need to speak to the person calmly. Maybe you need separate yourself away so that you are no longer being harmed by somebody who's being harmful and won't change. Maybe you're going to ring them up and say, can we have a chat? Maybe you're going to say, actually, I've tried to ring them and all I get is nastiness back. I'll leave that alone now. Let them be where they're at. I'll pray for them. I'll bless them. I will deal with myself with the Lord. Whatever you're doing, you do it with God. That's what Paul is talking about. He goes on to say, after that, the very next words are, do not make room for the devil. See, bad food makes a hole, allows a place where the enemy can get in and keep going at you. We eat the wrong food. If we follow the wrong path, if we keep going on those things, they will pull us down. Don't let evil talk come out of your mouth. Don't go bad-mouthing them. Just put it with Jesus. Don't do these things. Why? Because it's feeding the wrong thing. You realize that if you feed something, it lives. If you starve something, it dies. Feed the right thing. And that's really what Paul is saying. Living with the body of Christ and being people who, for whom the bread of life is Jesus, we do it his way. Do what is useful for building up. Use your words to give grace. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit by being a person who's neglecting the fact the Holy Spirit's been given to you. And you can live in this new life. You've been marked with a seal for the day of redemption. That means you've got your ticket to ride. Don't get off the train. Put away all of the bitterness and the wrath and the anger and the wrangling and the slander, all that stuff which is bad for you. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Be imitators of him. As beloved children, live in love as he loves us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That is, whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. That's the fragrant offering. That's what he's talking about. If we are living on a diet of the living bread, on Jesus' words, on how he has spoken and what he's given us to lead us, if we are working together as the body of Christ to build one another up, to bring reconciliation when we've had a problem, to listen to one another and care for one another, what happens is that eternal life seeps into the very being of each person as we go, because it's eternal life through the bread of Jesus. Eating the right thing, living that way, actually changes how people of God act. And even out there, people see it more easily. It's a challenge that I've offered before, but I'm going to offer it again because it's actually important. If you died today, would your friends and family know that you were a Christian? Would they say that? Are you living it out? That's one of the tests to help me to think about, am I actually living this out loud, or am I just quietly being a nice person? There's a difference, you know. It's not that it's wrong to be quietly a nice person. It's that being a nice person in the name of Jesus. You can all like doing all that. Being a nice person in the name of Jesus means that in that witness, we come to a place where we do our best to let people know that this is because Jesus is Lord. And what I'm offering and what I'm doing is so that they might also have the same life that I have. I want them in heaven too. I want them to have what I have. Don't you want to give it away so that others can have it too? To have the peace of God which passes all understanding, a place in the heavenlies, So they're not living their lives trying to be good enough for everybody else when you're already good enough for God through Jesus. You don't have to be good enough for everybody else. That's an amazing release. If you actually get to the point where you're no longer trying to fill everybody else's expectations, but you know that in Christ, every expectation of the Father is satisfied. I don't have to live up. God does not have expectations that I've got to do all this stuff. What he wants me to do is live a life worthy of the calling that I have for Jesus, in Jesus, because he wants the world to know that he loves them just as much as he loves me. And he wants them also to know. So we do need to make it a little bit more out loud sometimes. Invite them to our restaurant so they can eat the good food. So they can actually also have the bread of life. We're here because we know what that bread tastes like, and it's good. Yeah, good. And we share it together every Sunday when we fellowship. And sometimes we have communion to remind us that the reason why is because Jesus has given his body and blood for us. And I never have to beg God to love me because he loves me anyway. That is so cool. Let me pray. Father, what we believe is so central to who we are. Help us to live it out loud. Help us as we are walking each day with you to truly spend each day eating of the living bread, showing others that this way of life, which is our Christian faith, is real, that they too can have a place with you. Help us, Lord, each one to live for you, not because we have to, but because we want to. Because you have lived and died for us. In Jesus' name, amen.